Welcome to episode 48 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that can cover all the factions. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Z.
We have a full house.
We do.
Woohoo!
Makes me feel real good.
Aces full of kings.
I was going to say four kings and an ace.
That's four of a kind. And, well.
Hush you.
I see what you're going for.
I don't play a lot of poker.
So why do we have so many people here, Josh?
We have so many people because, at the end of last episode, we mentioned a couple changes, and the couple changes are right here.
Yep. Josh and I are leaving the show.
What?
No.
Actually, with Pat not being as interested in the game as he used to be and with some other obligations, he decided to step down, and he's such a big, important guy, we had to replace him with two people, Flanzer and Tim.
Thanks a lot for having us be permanent members. I guess now it's my show, too, so.
Yeah. It is.
Honored.
Well, we appreciate you guys taking the opportunity to come on with us.
Yep. And now we also have Z Skyping in from Atlanta.
Hello. How's the weather up north?
It's pretty nice. It's like a low 80s today. It's 80, very nice. 81. I'm going to go hiking later.
It's stinking hot here in the afternoons. It sucks.
That's why they call it Hotlanta.
Oh, God. That's not why they call it Hotlanta, but sure. I will give you that.
Oh, man. So what are we talking about this week?
We've got templates in.
We have templates.
They arrived. They're changed. They're new.
By templates, we mean melee gauges, not the spray and
right.
AoEs.
Yes. So we've got some new templates to give out at Gen Con. That's the convention
we're going to.
Ooh, 10 days, baby. Yeah.
That's right. I'm all excited. How about you guys?
Oh, I'm super excited.
I'll be excited to get stuff when you guys come back.
Well, you'll be playing at the 2-4 for Gen Con tournament, right?
Yeah, I'll be winning that event.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. But yeah, I'm pretty psyched about Gen Con. This will be number 3 for me.
I think this is my third, too.
This will be my second.
Is it in a row for you, though, Z?
Yep. Okay. I started in 2007, and I've been since.
I went in 01, and then last year, and then this year again.
Right.
Z's been just hopping around the country, going to conventions all over the place.
Yeah, you were at DICON before, and you've also gone to BioWars in between and everything else, right?
Yeah, I went to TempleCon. I went to the Invitational in Seattle. I went to DICON, obviously up with you guys. And then I went to Bayou Wars, and now Gen Con's around the corner. Dragon Con's in 2 weeks after Gen Con. And finally, hopefully, finally, War Machine Weekend up in October.
That's going to be big.
That's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
It'll be fun.
I'm going to see if I can pick up another free army.
Oh, you.
Oh, yes.
That's why you play this game for the swag.
Well, I've never gotten swag before, so this is great.
Well, when you go to awesome conventions that run them real well, you know, you can pick up stuff like that. War Machine Weekend has even more, I believe, free swag than DICON did.
Oh, easily. Yeah, well, every tournament has a chance for an entire free army.
That would qualify for that tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric was telling me about that last year, and I was like, what? They're giving away how many points of free stuff?
Play in the 1,000-pointer, you can win a 1,000-point army of your choice, and
yeah, that's
so on.
That's disgusting.
It's going to be awesome. I just like that they have a 1,000-point event, it being like my favorite size game. And especially because before moving to Mark II, you know, it's a good big finale.
Yeah, that's Clutch's premier event every year he likes to put out there, and he's always been successful at it.
Yeah, I like 1,000 points a lot. It's a lot of fun.
He started posting up about those achievements. Did you guys take a look at those?
Yeah, we did. I can't remember what they are now. You can get one just for like showing up at Gen Con or just talking to him, I think. But you
and
get a little button for everyone.
Him, yeah,
Facebooking him. So you can
get one for that. Yay.
So you can collect I don't know how many. Did he give a limit on how many there were going to be?
I don't think he mentioned, did he?
I don't remember.
No, he didn't. He said something like 50 or 75, maybe more is what he was hinting at.
And
he sounded pretty cool.
Every achievement you get is an entry into the raffle, so to speak, for the free armies, or is it for something else?
Just the random
door prizes.
Just the random door prizes.
Which could be, I think, one of them is an army, if not multiple.
So yeah, the more you get, the more chances you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, and it allows people, you know. The thing I really appreciate about the way Clutch is doing things down there is that, you know, you can go down. It's fairly cheap to get down there and stay down there. You can play a whole bunch of War Machine all weekend, and win or lose, you can walk away with great prizes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool way to do it. And you know, if you win, obviously, you know, you have the chance, you know, to, you know, fight out, you know, great battles and play awesome games of War Machine with lots of people. But you know, worst case scenario, you're entered into a raffle for a free army.
Yeah, it's kind of a win-win situation.
It is.
I'm actually going to be flying up with Eric in October, and we're actually trying to see if we can get a couple more people from Atlanta, I know David Webster, who Flanzer knows, is very excited and wants to probably make it as well.
Is Eric the guy who came up last year?
Yeah, he had the curly-haired tall guy with glasses.
Yeah, protector player. I met him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
And David's rooming with you guys at Gen Con, right?
Yes, now David Webster is rooming with me at Gen Con.
Yeah, Webster was the Legion player who Monkey couldn't remember the name of. I mocked him mercilessly for that.
But more importantly, Gen Con is in a week and a half.
That's right.
Woohoo!
I've been planning out my packing schedule, how much room in the car it's going to take up and all that.
I've actually seen if I can get the Wednesday off to see if we can leave a bit earlier.
I think I'm going to... Well, I'll be working at home that day. Air quotes, working at home.
You'll be packing at home?
I'll be packing all day at home and not be working.
Well, hopefully, I'm actually going to be picking up one of those new battle foam bags. I'm going to see if I can put my trolls in the bottom and all my clothes in the top.
Those things are huge.
They're humongous.
I have not seen this bag.
It is.
You can put a small child in there.
In fact, we have.
So, like, you could fit me in it?
Well, you know, it was funny. The other day at the local game store, you crouched down in my suitcase that I carry my models in. I bet you could fit in one of the larger
Here's the thing, though. It's not one continuous bag.
Oh, that's right. It's stacked, isn't it?
If it was one continuous bag, you definitely could, but there's a separation on top. It's a very cool bag. I mean, if you guys haven't seen it, the company is making them. They're called Battle Foam, and the foam itself is like more than twice as large as a Sable or Army Transport foam, and rigid construction with it's a canvas outside with a hard plastic inside, and it's pretty sweet.
If you could zip it down the sides like an SS bag, it would be perfect.
Well, you can't zip open the top. You do zip open the sides.
It won't flip down the entire side, though.
Uh-huh. The big one does.
Oh, the big one does. The other ones do not, though.
No, they do
which
not.
Is a problem.
Actually, not the top doesn't either. But the top's only yay big. It's only a couple, it's not too many inches large,
It's probably three or four inches.
Yeah, it's like it'll hold a couple foams. And Dave laughs at that comment. Immature.
I can't help it.
Immature.
I can't help it.
He was thinking of himself. It's okay.
Tim and I bring a bit of maturity to the podcast.
Just a bit. Shared between you.
Wait, Flanzer's the sign of maturity in your podcast? Oh, my.
Yeah, we're not known for our sophisticated humor.
Exciting.
So, yes, Gen Con's coming up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's everybody going to be doing there?
I don't know. I'm probably going to be just hanging around a lot and checking stuff out, and Z wants me to play in hardcore.
Oh, that's right.
So is that a challenge you'll accept?
I have not decided yet.
Oh, look at that.
It's going to depend how quickly I can paint.
And you better hope it doesn't. If you are going to enter, you'd have to hope that it's not filled up with actual tickets.
I checked, and it was, like, nowhere close.
Really? Okay. Yeah. It's actually kind of surprising. I was thinking at the last hardcore for Mark 1.
There's, like, 100-something tickets.
Taken, you mean?
No, available. Total. I mean, total.
That means only 28 people have entered.
Well, I think a lot of people sign up on the day.
I don't mean there's 100 free.
Oh, they've only allowed
100? I'm saying there's like 100 and like it's like 20 or something slots.
It should be 128.
Yeah, there's 128 slots.
There's like maybe 70 taken.
Really?
Hopefully not, because I was not able to pre-reg this year. And so I'm going to get there Wednesday.
Wait in line.
Well, I mean, Wednesday's not as bad, though.
No, Wednesday's not bad.
So I'll get in and get the business done.
Yeah. You just have to get there early on Saturday or whenever hardcore is to make sure you're in line. Because first come, first serve if you don't have the actual ticket.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I should have the actual ticket.
Sure.
But for me, I'm actually going to be playing in Masters as well as playing in hardcore. And depending on how you do in Masters is, kind of how you gauge your weekend. My goal right now is to get through the 500 points. I'm going to be bringing I'm actually going to be bringing Mercs this year, and it's going to be a tougher road than I had last year, especially with the changing of the casters and not being able to use a crutch like Denegra, which I definitely did last year. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, you've shown that you can get to the finals with a good army. Just go in there for the challenge of it this year.
Oh, I mean, it's exciting. I've had so much fun playing Mercs. I mean, people say they're, underpowered or the worst faction in War Machine and stuff. And I mean, I've been pulling some stuff out of my ass that is pretty good.
Well, you said a good set of advisors.
Yeah, apparently Z and David Webster are part of Team Flanzer, trying to help me get organized and get prepared. And we've been doing some list making and some talking and. Feel free, actually, if you want, on the IA blog to comment on some of my posts, and I will definitely take any advice from any Merc players or non-Merc players.
So between turns, you know, when your opponent is going, are you going to be sitting back in your chair with a towel over your shoulders? They'll be rubbing your shoulders, you know, having you spit in a bucket and all that.
Well, I don't know about
maybe on Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday, definitely, if I were able to get there. But, you know, I think ZS and Press Gang to do.
I will be Press Gang on Thursday and Friday. I'll be working the booth, I believe. Last year I was doing Monster Apocalypse pretty much the entire time. But this year, who knows? We have a new quartermaster this year, Jack. Because Biggie stepped down to get his new job.
What a great pirate name for quartermaster.
Jack. Arr.
His last name is even more awesome considering we're in the IK world. His last name is Coleman.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yes.
Jack Coleman. Jack.
Isn't that HRG on Heroes? Isn't that his real name?
No.
No, I thought that was Noah.
That's Noah.
No, the actor's real name.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Jack Coleman. Yeah, that is his name.
Oh, my gosh.
He's the new quartermaster.
Holy crap,
HRG
I just realized
is
that.
The quartermaster.
It's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He is the new quartermaster.
If you don't work, he slices you in half. But the only event this year, again, for me, will be the hardcore event, just like last year. And
hardcore is where it's at.
Hardcore, exactly. Hardcore is where it's at. I go to Gen Con because of hardcore and, you know, boobies.
A lot of people would say it's the Catalina wine mixer of all the events. So you don't plan on playing in any other tournaments? They actually have a great tournament structure this year, and they have lots of different tournaments. Hell, if you don't even want to play in Masters, at the same time they have a 750 steamroller running, which is going to appeal to a lot of people, especially with the new format changes.
Well, I was really interested in playing. I play in enough steamroller stuff, and I play in enough games. Hardcore is a really nice format for me, and I really enjoy that format. That's why I look forward to hardcore, and I just hang out, you know, do the Press Gang thing, and then just chill out with people on the weeknights, go out to party, stuff like that.
Very cool.
I was going to do the team tournament, but I have more friends coming than I expected this year, and so I'm planning on hanging out with them on Thursday night.
Gosh, so, you're so popular.
I am very popular. I'm on a podcast, you know.
That's very true.
Did you guys see the Rams new t-shirt?
What?
This year?
Oh, man.
It is pretty cool.
If you're I thought you were talking about the St. Louis Rams. I'm like, what?
No. Wait, with Aris kind of lounging back.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar with it, I'm sure we can get a link on the onto
you're
the
You're making
the
me
show
do work.
Notes.
Show notes.
Tim, you ask what
Look at you
is.
Already filling your role in the podcast.
What football is. Hey, it's like Grind, except more popular.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's like Grind.
Wow.
No, but the Ram is a local bar, if you don't know, in Indianapolis that I believe the owner of it plays War Machine, and he loves it. And so past 3 years, I believe, maybe even four.
Oh, it's more than
at
that.
At least three or four, yeah.
Shirts, though.
It's a lot more than
really?
That.
Yeah.
Shirts
I've
and
seen,
mugs.
I've seen four. Yeah, they have shirts and mugs. Well, anyways, this year it's, what is it called? Something
Sweet Retribution. It's a honey ale or something
honey
like ale. That.
Honey brown ale, that's it.
That is great. And it's Aris lounging back with her leg up in the air and drinking a cold mug of beer. So it's pretty excellent. Much better than the Monster Apocalypse ones.
And it's probably a black
I know,
t-shirt
I like
too,
the Monster Apocalypse one.
Oh, bah. If it can beat the Kill Lifter, then it's Dunn's job. He got his own he got his own model.
Yeah.
Now, what's the night that everybody goes to the Ram? Is that Thursday night?
Wednesday night.
Yeah. It's that first night.
Right. Well, we'll be rolling in
I'll
late that night, so
unless we can get out early.
Yeah. I wonder what time it closes. We'll have to see, I guess, when we get there.
They're open pretty late. Last year, I was there till at least 11. What we did was we went down to the Ram, and then we hung out with people, and we went and got our tickets and the lines and whatnot, and we came back again to the Ram and did some more drinking and talking.
I think we'll be lucky if we can make it there by rolling
it's
in.
It's a bar. I'm sure it's open past
it 11. Probably is.
It's probably
right.
Open until 1.
Yeah, it's probably 1 o'clock during
I mean,
the week.
It's probably its busiest night of the entire year.
Probably right.
No, I'm sure. I've actually been there. It's a great place.
All right, Tim. Well, you said that you're going to be playing at the 2-4 for Gen Con tournament here.
Yes, sir.
Here in St. Louis at Game On. Gonna barbecue and play some games.
Something okay. We started was it 3 years?
Three or four,
and grown. And now we actually somebody brings up a portable barbecue pit, and we started grilling last year. Actually, I wasn't there last year. I was up at Gen Con, but I think they had 25 people or more last year.
Wow, good.
Yeah, it goes like all day. They start at about 11 in the morning, and it goes to 10 or 11 at night.
See, this is why I want to live in St. Louis. No matter what, there's something going on.
I have a spare room, man. It can fit you and your wife, especially if she does dishes. It's my weak point.
Oh, no, she doesn't do dishes. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
So you just get a dog. You just, you know, put the plate in front of the dog and takes care of it.
Have you seen Don't Tell Mountain Babysitter's Dead?
I used to watch that movie all the time.
When they shoot the dishes. Dishes are done, man.
Okay, should we actually transition to something that resembles a topic?
I think this is a pretty good topic.
I thought this was the topic.
Okay. Well, I thought we were going to talk more specifically about some like con-going advice type paraphernalia. Yeah, it's like drug paraphernalia, only not.
Hmm.
I guess con-going can be a drug. What do you think, Z?
It is totally a drug, and I have gotten into many arguments with the missus about, you're going to another one?
Does she never tag along or come along with you?
No, she's not too outgoing in that sense. Meaning it's her nice way of saying she hates nerds.
Oh, wow. Well, that's nice.
Except me.
Yeah.
That's not true. She's also a nerd, so it's okay.
Whenever I get...
But she does. She's not a con person. Sorry.
Whenever I get back from a con, my eyes are all red and I have mold release all over my nose. You know, it's pretty dangerous.
How's that septum doing?
It's doing all right.
Pewter huffers. God.
I need that crack lead, man.
You know, Reaper actually is making lead miniatures again. Well, miniatures with more lead in it. They're
is
like
this that P490
P382-6576, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a line they're doing that reduces cost by using some pewter-based alloys, or some lead-based alloys. So it's, you know, it's hazardous. Don't let children play with these. So
because you normally let them eat your miniatures anyway.
That's like the good stuff.
Right.
That you can get now.
You better keep me away from those. I've been known to have a model in my mouth before.
Well, you know, you do have flavored smelling models, too.
Oh, man.
So.
My Dietrol does smell like sweet tarts. Don't ask me why. It does. People are always like, oh, no, I'm not smelling your model. But when they eventually do, they're like, that smells like sweet tarts.
You've never asked me to smell your dire.
Oh, dear God.
That just happened.
Oh, dear God.
So what advice as a con-going champion, as yourself, Z, would you give to people who are, you know, making their first trip out to Gen Con?
All right, well,
Gen Con virgins, shall we?
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, baby. Well, the first thing you do is come by my room.
There's a key under the mat.
Oh.
Oh, why
no,
got,
I'll be
why
bunking with four other guys. Well, let's see. All right. At this point, some of the advice I'm going to give you is probably something you should have already done a long time ago. Number one is book your hotel in February for Gen Con.
Absolutely.
You want a good hotel? You book it in February.
Every year I make sure I'm home that day, and as soon as it's usually 11 o'clock in the morning Central Time, I'm on the site booking in the room.
This is the great thing about rooming with Josh is because he takes care of that shit for you.
Exactly. Same reason I hang out with Eric.
But
he does all the work.
Yeah, Z, you mentioned a good hotel room. What qualifies for a good hotel room? I don't know about you guys, but being attached to the convention center is huge for
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this year will be the first year I'm attached to the con center. Every year prior, we were at a cheaper hotel about 10 miles out, and this year we decided to splurge and not pay for parking and gas and driving.
Between your time, parking, and, like you said, the gas, I mean, it may actually pay for itself. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think that this year we're going to try it out and see how it is, because last year, especially because we had one car between three people, and so if everyone didn't go together, someone else got stuck taking a cab back to the hotel, and I spent about $80 last year just cabbing back and forth from the con.
Wow. It's $28 a day for a car to park it.
Yeah, at least in the Marriott where we are, yeah.
Yeah.
The convenience factor is enormous.
I mean,
I hope it'll be better this year for me.
We don't have to walk around your miles. You know, if it comes later in the day, it's like, oh, I want to start playing games. I'm going to go back to our room and pick them up.
Yeah, that was my question for you, Z. You know, we've never had to lug our models around. Is that something that you found to be a huge pain?
Well, what we did was, like I said, since I haven't been attached, what we did was we would leave it in the car trunk. Since I was PGing Thursday and Friday and I was playing afterwards, what would happen is I would come to the con center without my models. And then when I got off shift, I would just run down to the car, grab my miniatures, and come back to the hall, and couldn't go anywhere without them.
Yeah, I mean,
so like,
now you can go.
I couldn't go to the bathroom.
Well, you could. You just have a Crick's army.
A lot of people watching.
Army, I guess, in your case, been between your legs.
I hear Coleman's a voyeur.
Oh.
But now you can, you know, go up to your room, put your models away, put on some cologne, pop your collar, and get out to the RAM.
It one
go
collar,
to your own bathroom, too. Good God, those
What's
bathrooms.
It?
Just one collar?
Just
don't have the four collar pop.
No, yeah. Well, it depends if I'm layering.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do it.
But yeah, just don't lug your miniatures around everywhere if you can. Especially for tournaments when they're calling your pairings. This is something they'll announce every year. Leave your miniatures on a table until you find where you're paired at. Then take your miniatures with you. no accidents this way.
That is true. I mean, a lot of people are hesitant to do that, but, you know, I've seen entire trays collapse and people just fall onto the ground and start crying as their miniature is painted. Luckily, if an arm falls off one of mine, I'm usually not too upset.
That's actually kind of a big deal, especially like in that smaller, well, it's not that small, but everybody's packed in when they do hardcore, mm-hmm. and you've got to have everybody like leaving their bags somewhere while a tournament's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way at the first Privateer weekend last year during hardcore. Oh, it was bad. Stu bumped me and bumped my tray, and the Dracoon got dismounted. It was not pretty.
10 points of damage like that.
Exactly. And I wasn't upset. I mean, I was frustrated, but I wasn't like upset or anything. So I just kept giving. I still give Stu trouble. I told him that he just knocked me out of the painting competition.
Yeah, but you know, no matter how much room there is, the chairs are always pushed out. Everybody's maneuvering around. Half people aren't paying attention because they're also looking for their own spot. So just take lots of caution, lots of care, and move slowly.
Yeah, we keep speaking about you know, people carrying around their trays. I mean, that's one thing. If you've never really been to a big con and you play at your local game shop, you know, some people bring like box lids or something like that. But having a sturdy tray,
use your hardcore prime to carry your models around. Yeah. Your hardback prime, right. Because it's far too small. There's no lip. You're gonna drop stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and what you want to do is maybe lay out an army that you may be bringing. I mean, all the way up to 750. Obviously, at the 1,000-point level, if you ever were to achieve that at Gen Con, you have all the time in the world, and you can just put your models all over the table. But, I mean, otherwise, make sure you have a tray that's adequate for carrying, you know, your tape measure, your tokens, your templates, and all of your models safely.
For small things like templates and dice, you might consider putting them in your pockets to make even more room on your table if you want. Mm-hmm, you know, just maximize the or minimize the damage that could occur if you were to be jostled while carrying it.
Maybe bring a vest that has all sorts of pockets all over it, and then like a ammo strip, but instead of that,
put metal plates in it, metallic.
Yeah, and you can like hang fishing lures from your hat.
There you go.
Absolutely, and you can catch like unsuspecting Gen Con goers.
Oh, that looks.
Look, it's a flashy vampire. Come here, Twilight Girl.
I was about to say Naruto, but.
Oh, man. Twilight Girls are where it's at. They'll bite you.
You know, there are lots of women sometimes wearing chainmail outfits, and so you might accidentally snag one of them.
Or your models might become stuck to them.
There you go. Yeah, if you metallicize the bases.
Magnetize the base. Stick.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm just trying to get my gobber back.
But another thing, too, is that we were just talking about, I mean, about, you know, picking up things at booths and as much as Gen Con has to offer is if you're flying, especially leave some space for you to be able to put stuff in that you may not have brought. Even though you may lose some things, you probably won't lose much and you'll probably gain more than you lose. Would you agree?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now that brings up a point that I've actually talked to Z a little bit about, because Josh and I have talked about trying to get to Temple Con next year.
Right.
And that's not a driving con for us. And that is flying with models, which I am pretty much scared to do.
Me too.
I would be too.
How do you do that, Z?
You're scared. I have a slightly more extreme case than you guys. I'm already on the, you know, search list without miniatures for my slightly auburn complexion. Uh-huh. But
and your name probably doesn't help either.
It's like, how do you say that? It's not a silent J, I swear. Actually, when I went to Seattle, I was by myself, and what happened was they stopped me at the gate or at the security check-in. They're like, do you mind if we open it? I was, no, go ahead. It's very delicate. Do you mind if I open it? And, you know, I pulled the trays out and they looked at them and they asked me questions. And the best answer is it's like Lord of the Rings. And no matter who the person doing security is, they've probably heard of Lord of the Rings before. You can tell them you're a professional gamer, which is my likely excuse. And they send me on my merry way in less than a minute.
I flew to Gen Con last year because I was actually living in New York City. And honestly, I didn't have a hassle. And the best part is, when you're going back, it's even easier because
they expect all the bags.
Indianapolis, stuff, yeah. they know what's coming. They're like, come on, come on. You know, in New York, like the capital of where you'd be searched most, I really didn't have a lot of problem. Like he said, be completely honest. Just show everything. You know, they're going to ask you to open all the pockets and stuff like that. And it was fairly easy. I was actually able to bring an SS bag on somehow, even though I know it's larger.
That's carry-on size.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I thought it was larger then. Oh, well, I put it between my legs, and I didn't put it under the thing, and the stewardess told me to put it under the seat, and so I acted like I was, but I ended up just keeping it between my legs.
And, you know, taking as much
carry. Do not pack your Exacto. Sorry, Josh. No. Do not pack your Exacto, whatever you do. Oh, don't take it with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of people say, like, are worried about glue. All I would do is put in a bag. It's actually under the size that you can have, even though
put it in a separate Ziploc bag in somewhere just in case. But
exactly. Any.
I'd just put them in, wrap them up in bags, and then just put that in my luggage anyway.
Exactly.
Well, you guys kind of mentioned bringing stuff on the plane, but that's actually kind of my biggest concern because, I mean, especially if I want to bring enough to play two different armies, that's more than a carry-on. And checking models worries me.
Oh, God.
Don't do it.
Do not do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever you do. I have a horror story now. Tam Wolf, the press ganger from Alaska, checked his models after TempoCon this year. They forced him to check his models. When he got back to his apartment and he put the bag down, he heard clank and miniature. He could just hear metal like settling on the bottom.
Oh no.
So he didn't even open it. He just put it in his closet and picked up his protected army and started playing with that instead.
Has he opened it yet?
Do not let them check your bags. I don't know. You'd have to, maybe if he hears the show, he can call in and tell you if he opened it and looked at the damage. But if you can, the army transport, the flat one, I think it's the platoon it's called.
The small one?
Platoon case? No, not the vertical one, the side-by-side one?
I think it's the motor pool.
Oh, the motor pool is what you're speaking
of. I have one of those. Thank you,
the motor pool. The motor pool, if you didn't pack anything in the top too much, and if you take the Velcro handles and you put them to the sides, you can slide it under the seat in front of you just fine with no problems.
Yep.
That will fit, and that can carry about 1,500 points easy, depending on how you pack.
And despite the fact that the models might get damaged, you also don't want to check it because apparently everything is, what, a $25 charge now if it goes in the belly of the plane?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so. Yeah.
Pretty ridiculous. Unless you fly Southwest.
Really?
Yep.
Then it's, what, 50?
Southwest Airlines.
The thing is, you mentioned the SS Designs cab bag, which you can carry on because it's small and check size. That's only if you get in a full-size plane. If you get one of those smaller puddle jumpers,
yeah.
The ones that are only, like, 2-3 seats wide,
they
will force you to check it. Mm-hmm.
Unless, yeah, I mean, it's you have to do some pretty good haggling, which I may have some experience with, but
But yeah, basically, just be polite, and if they're forcing you, you can tell them, look, I'm a professional gamer. This is my career. This is like my laptop for my job. I cannot check this into my luggage. I cannot check this into the plane, and generally, they'll let it slide.
But sometimes they don't. So how do you proactively prepare for your models being thrown around, tied down with a cargo net, and bashed to pieces?
You get Scotty to beam them to your destination.
Back here in the 21st century, though.
Oh, okay.
You drive.
Well, wait, no, they're right now, they're out rescuing the whales. I mean, we can, just while they're here, get them.
right.
I'm considering driving to TempoCon next year.
Really?
I did that the first year.
If people were interested in driving with me, I would do it. It's not that bad. And it'd just be so much easier and actually cheaper. And, I mean, not that I, like, am dying for money all the time, but, you know, saving money is always a good thing.
How long would drive
is it? I'm sensing an Iron Agenda road trip.
It might be.
Oh, man. Josh gives us a wince. Doesn't like it.
I don't know. We'll see. That's, what, February?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll see. But anyway, I've heard people talk about packing their models individually, you know, bubble wrap or toilet paper or whatever, anything to compact them, make sure they're stuck in the foam so they won't jostle around. You know, if you think it might be packed underneath the plane, you got to take whatever precautions you can because you will hear that clanging metal whenever you settle down.
Just don't play Nis Hunters or Bane Knights and you should be good.
There you go.
If I was going to check stuff, I might even get one of those hard shelled cases.
Sure, but even that, you want to make sure it's packed inside. That,
right.
You know, that'll protect it from outside forces, but...
You don't mean like a rifle case or anything, do you?
Yeah, they'll just let it slide. Yeah.
No, but speaking of that battle foam, actually, they have the ability. The large bag, I believe, is $200 MSRP. And oof. Actually, it's you say oof, but after you calculate the price of the foam that you get in it, it's actually only an $80 bag, and it's much larger than any bag. So it's actually a good deal because you're getting a lot of foam in it.
I might look at seeing if they have them empty, but I'm not overly impressed with their foam. I think it's overpriced because they customize it.
There's customizable ones, and there's the pluck.
They do
version.
The pluck as well.
The mm-hmm. pluck, yeah. Okay. A 1-inch tray is 16. I believe a 2-inch
is 18. And it's twice as big as.
Yep, it's twice as big. So it's actually cheaper, in the end, and it's actually a little bit larger because there's no gap in, because you know you'd have the edge of one army transport and the edge of another touching. Because that's not there, that's actually two more rows that you have that the army transport doesn't. But besides that, they also. I know they make one of their bags is large enough for carry-on size, but what I was going to say is they have the custom foam, so which you can actually customize for your minis, which may help. I don't know. I'm not going to do it, but you never know.
Eric actually has a technique for traveling with miniatures. What he does is he gets one of those, you know, the small bags with handles and wheels that you can carry onto the plane.
Sure.
What he does is he packs it with the foam trays, and he puts them in basically, he stands the bag up and puts the foam trays in vertically from top to bottom or bottom to top so that there's no room for them to move at all. And then he puts like some extra padding in there, and when he closes it up, there's no movement at all. And they will never ask you to not take that bag on the plane because you can just put that in the overhead compartment. And what he does is he puts his clothes in a little like backpack or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he had his little roller case suitcase at War Machine Weekend. I saw that. And Josh, I think you've kind of done the same thing lately.
Yeah, I found a really nice piece of luggage, but it was on this heavy discount, so I went in and picked it up, and I used it. It's a little bit bigger than an SS bag, so yeah, you can fill it up with foam. And I can see what he's saying. You can easily pack around the foam that you've put in there, so that's actually a pretty good plan.
Exactly, and they gave him no hassle while they were trying to haggle with me to not get it onto the plane. Mm. So I'm probably going to do that for War Machine Weekend.
And also, luggage pieces tend to have very large pockets that are sometimes bigger than the other army transport, so that's also a good thing about them, I think. Mm-hmm.
So we've traveled to Gen Con, and we've got our miles there safely.
Look at Mr. Transition. First time as a full-time host, he's already pulling it off.
And you check,
smooth.
And you check into your hotel, and you know, what do you do there? I mean, I guess you have to have a ticket to get into the con, correct?
Well, get to getting in, I think you should talk about stuff to take up there with you other than just your models.
I guess it's a good point.
I mean, other than like basic toiletry stuff, which it's a important joke and a half, and Gen Con is a day that I praise I was born without a sense of smell every day of Gen Con, but I hear the horror stories. So I go ahead and shower for my friends.
The first time I went to Gen Con, my wife went with me. And she's not a gamer by any means, but she had a blast people watching, except for the smell.
It's ridiculous. It's like stereotypes are real for a reason.
She said it was the really old people that probably couldn't control their bodily functions there, and the prepubescent boys that need to be wearing deodorant and aren't.
Let's be honest. Besides the fact that it's a joke, I mean, people shower, take care of their normal hygiene, and people just, especially if you're in a place where you're hot, start to give off an odor.
Yeah, like I sweat at the drop of a hat.
When you pack that many people into the convention center, it's going to build up. And so it's not like, you have to do basic
hygiene. Maintenance?
You can't do just your basic hygiene. I mean, go ahead and take it a step further. Use a little bit better deodorant or something just to try and so you don't add to the monster that is the stench.
You know, you can bring extra shirts. You know, if you need to jump back, if you're attached to the hotel, you can go back to quick shower or shower if you need to or whatever. But that's another boon to being attached to the convention center.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even attached to the hotel last year, but I was in proximity a couple blocks, and you know, it wasn't bad. If I had a break, I'd go back to the room and I'd make sure to freshen up and just do everyone a favor.
Powder your nose.
Powder my nose a little bit.
On top of that stuff, I think a few things I'm going to be taking is I'm going to take a water bottle, and I might even take some powdered Gatorade to put in there with it, like aspirin, and also like some Tums stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you don't have to try run down to the front counter like everyone else who's done it already, and they won't have anything left at that point.
The convention center, the official rules say you can't bring food or water in, but I think that's something they just overlook because I've saw everybody. Well, I have food and water in there, so yeah.
Speaking of food, I usually bring some granola bars and throw them in my messenger bag that I carry around just as a snack.
And even you might even consider bringing more food than that because the food there in the convention center is not cheap. No. You might spend $7 for a hamburger and some fries or something. And beyond that, you might be eating the same thing every day. But if you bring stuff to make sandwiches or maybe something heat up in a microwave, that might change things up a little bit and save you money at the same time.
Yeah, if you do that, you got to bring a cooler, probably.
Depending on what it is, you know, if it has to be cool enough.
But I mean, if you're flying, that's probably not going to be an option.
No, probably not, yeah.
What's this jar of peanut butter doing in your army transport?
Well, that's how I stick my miles together. I don't like glue. I'm allergic.
Not for eating, sir. Not for eating.
It's for the Iron Man tournament where you have to eat your miniatures if you die.
Yeah.
Oh, Iron Man.
That's hardcore.
Diamond
it's
core.
Passing hardcore.
Is that a kidney stone? No. Simple flame guard.
All right, besides that stuff, how about bringing cameras? You know, don't forget your camera. You're going to have lots of opportunities to take pictures, lots of strange things to take pictures of once you get there?
Oh, absolutely.
Those babes.
I know I'm cosplaying every day.
Are you?
As
yourself.
Pokemon characters. No, but there certainly are some good sights to see at Gen Con.
There are people who go through a lot of effort on their costumes.
Yes, yeah, and those are cool. I mean, yeah. When people look pretty damn near a drawing, that's pretty impressive.
I think it was during one of the Days of Masters last year, and I'm assuming they do this every year. There was like a parade of costumes. There were a couple of R2 units from Star Wars swinging by. It was really, really neat, actually.
Really?
That was hardcore.
Was it hardcore?
Yeah, and I looked, there's a Wonder R2. Woman.
That's pretty excellent.
That's pretty cool.
I wanted Mark to back his van up and said, we're stealing that R2 unit.
Did you guys see the booth babes for Conan last year?
No.
In fact, I did.
Oh, yeah.
The what?
Yeah. That was pretty sweet.
Booth babes.
They released the Conan MMO.
Oh, yeah. I saw those. Yeah.
And they had booth babes.
Mm-mm-mm. I thought you said Draconan.
That's what I thought. Like, this is back to Dragonlance.
No, my bad.
They're Dragonborn.
Sorry, it was my accent.
They had some ladies in bikinis with like scales painted on them and big giant snouts.
Oh yeah, hot. Snouting.
All right, so we've got our food, our drink, our cameras and stuff.
Yep.
We're there.
You think we're there?
I think we're there.
Okay. Oh crap! I where's my ticket? My badge?
What do we do? No, you left it on the piano.
Well, most people that hopefully the people that are taking this advice
already have their badges.
No, I was going to say most likely they don't have their badges. You know, if they have their badges, usually they've been there before. They know a good deal. But yeah, don't forget your badges, obviously, and your tickets. And on that note, I guess when you're going to get your tickets or your badge for the very first time, you know you're going to have to wait in a hell of a line. But make sure that you know everything and you're very well prepared, because when you go through that line once, you're not going to want to go through it again.
Yeah, bring your iPod or whatever, something. Just in case you're not standing with friends in line, so you can, you know, not be bored out of your mind.
You could be listening to Iron Agenda while you're online.
You know what? That's a brilliant idea.
You should listen to this episode, in fact.
You can call Z. His number is...
For a good time.
Yeah, actually, it's all right if you call me. I'll be busy driving up from Atlanta. Here, let me give you my number. 1 second. Where is it? Here we go.
That is not his number. That happens to be mine. But his number is... Give me a call. I probably won't answer. I'm really bad at answering.
Yes, yes, he is.
What's the Energen of voicemail, Josh?
It's 206-333-0983.
206?
It's a Washington number. You'll notice that most podcasts with free voicemail have that same extension.
Must be the...
Or area code. Because that's where the free stuff is.
So, yeah, like I said, you know, at least the pen and pencil, I know they have them there, but you may want to bring your own, maybe a piece of paper to be able to flip through the book, find the events and things that you want to do. I mean, and it's also really important when you go to Gen Con. I mean, I'm a primarily War Machine player. I don't play any other games that are really associated with Gen Con, but I still want to go around and look, and maybe even this year I'll do something else, and you know, you have those opportunities because there's so much stuff there.
You mentioned... pencil, paper, and book. Actually, this year, if you don't know if you guys have been reading like the Gen Con newsletter they send out, they're releasing an iPod Touch
application,
or an iPhone app that is their schedule and whatnot. So you don't even necessarily need to flip through the book
if you have one of those devices.
Yes, if you'd like to pay $300 so you don't have to read the book, you can.
Oh, I like the book. I like having it. They always have funny looking characters on the front.
You can beat off muggers with it too.
You can what?
Beat off.
Whoa! You know the one thing.
In addition
I have,
to fending them off.
Good night, everybody.
I love Indianapolis.
So you're in line, and you're trying to get your tickets, and then they're all out of the tickets for the things you want to play in.
Go home.
No.
Or
get generic tickets.
You can buy generic tickets, and most
hope a spot opens up.
Yep.
And most
of
the time it does. A lot of people will mass buy tickets, and they will. Some people want to spend money on them. That's cool. I know someone who buys tickets for lots of different events and then hopes that they are in them. So there's usually going to be a couple of spots open.
And some people drop out after buying the tickets. Like, their plans change and they can't make it to Gen Con.
Or they get drunk.
That works, too.
Logical excuse.
Yeah, it's that's always a good idea. I mean, and the privateer events hopefully are – I think there's going to be more privateer players this year, but there's also more events. So I believe that everyone should be able to play what they want for the most part. I know that Masters was close to getting filled last year, but it wasn't 100%, mm-hmm. and Hardcore was getting there as well. So,
and even if you are, say, trying to play a PP event, and if everything by some weird chance is full, there's always free pickup games in the Wabash rooms.
Yep.
And there's Tour of Duty as well. Mm-hmm. They're always running those, I think. I don't know if they're doing it this year. I believe they are.
I thought they were.
Have you run or admin that at all, Z?
Oh, thankfully not.
Okay.
last year, I believe it was PPS Simon who was taking care of that.
Okay.
And he was fried by the time I talked to him at the end of the day.
The reason I ask is because I've had people ask us before, like on the forums and whatnot, what exactly that format entails. Because it's 350, I forget what they call it. What is it?
Guts and Gears, isn't it?
Yeah, does that just mean mixed? I mean, what exactly is that format for people who are interested?
Well, I have played in that event. What it is, you just make a 350 list of whatever you want. And what happens is they're going to keep track of the wins per table. Basically, it's like an hour on the table. You have like a 5 or 6 minute turn time limit. And the idea is that at the end of the hour, the person who's closest to the middle wins. And this was last year, at least. And what they do is at the end of the weekend, they track all the wins and losses. And I don't know what they do with them.
Well, I thought, isn't there a little pin or medal you get if you play the faction that had the most or something like
that's
that?
That's right. That's right. They gave out those medals. Last year, Legion won. The year before that, when I played, was when Crix won.
And I think Protectorate has won at least one year because one of our local PGers has one.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was a
mistake. They have little dog tags, too.
Yeah, that's what talking about.
Exactly. Oh, that's what it was.
Well, no, they used to, but I do believe 2 years ago, they gave a dog tag to every faction that played.
That
if you played in
I'm
it,
thinking.
You got them, and then the winners won something else. I don't know, but that's – because I know I have a group of friends in Columbia who all have dog tags of their respective factions.
Okay. But the key is it's 350, take whatever you want, four-way fight, get to the middle of the hill.
I believe that's what it is, yes.
Okay.
Very cool. But yeah, there's always pickup games going. I played at least – 6 or 7 last year, and I expect to play more this year because I don't expect to be doing as well as I did last year. So I'm sure I'll have a lot more time, and it'll be it's a lot of fun. There's just always people that want to play, and meeting people from all over the country is
yeah.
What's really cool.
I'm wanting to go next year, especially with all the new Mark II stuff that's going to be there, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do for a Mark II format. But I also thought about going and not actually playing in any of the events and just playing all pickup games mm-hmm. afterwards. Because there's so many people, and there's PP people come in, and you can play them and all the different games, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Souls playing Monpoc last year.
Yeah, I remember seeing
that,
too.
I have a picture of that.
There's also Monpoc events going on,
oh, that's true.
Too. I don't know how many of the listeners actually play or anything, but, you know. I know around here it has slowed down quite a bit.
Well, Tim, you mentioned playing lots of pickup games solely. Dave and I think our plans are to, as much as possible, be in the miniatures room, meeting people, listeners, non-listeners, whoever, and just playing lots of pickup games.
Mm-hmm.
That's my plan, because I don't have tickets for anything except for a couple free things that I probably won't go to anyway.
You guys also got to beat the SOBs.
Oh, that's right.
You got to play the SOBs.
Yeah, we got called out.
We have to assemble our team. I think it's us three. Tim's not going, mm-hmm. and I think Vader said he was going to play. But we have to find a fifth.
It depends on what day we play. I don't even think it's in writing yet exactly what day.
Yeah.
I just posted last night on the IA blog site, and you know, I just want to clear it up, and maybe we can figure out what to do.
Yeah,
I got called out personally, so
you did. Yeah,
I wasn't even on there.
No, it was Stubbs.
No, Norbert. Iskander. Norbert wanted to play you.
I thought
Stubbs did too.
Somebody
he said, I'm
that,
the smallest.
Yeah. No, I thought he said you were the best. You're the best St. Louis player.
That can't be right.
Either way, Vader's going to have a problem scheduling because he's going to be working the PP booth, and he only wants to play during that time because the rest of the time he's going to be with his family. So we'll have to figure something out.
Okay.
And if you need a fifth, remember, now that I've been on the podcast.
Well, actually, so has Norbert and Stubbs, so that would be kind of – you guys are on our team.
But you are an honorary river dog.
Yeah, I have the patch to prove it.
That's true.
I'm not a river dog.
You're not a river dog?
No.
Sorry. I'm a Lone Ranger.
Okay.
I am not your Mexican sidekick.
Yes, you are.
He was an Indian.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, Indian? I'm sorry.
Tonto was an
Indian.
I'm the other kind of Indian.
That's how it works.
Okay, so besides playing games,
mm-hmm.
what about shopping? You have any advice for people who want to shop?
Spend at least one day only in the dealer room.
That's probably not a bad idea. I think my advice I was going to give was, if you know what you're going to get, the stuff that you know you want to get, do it the first day.
Mm-hmm.
It may be gone.
Yeah.
A lot
Plus
of...
you get it out of the way. Buy it, take it back to your room if you're near the place,
mm-hmm.
store it, and then you can walk back around the rest of the day.
Last year, I got in the PP line right away, and by the time I checked out, they were already out of the kilt lifters.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was like,
in hours, in hours. Yeah, what was really awesome was it was my very first Gen Con, and I went straight to the privateer section. I was like, what factions do I play? And I grabbed everything. And I was waiting in line, and they were like, if you're playing in Masters, you need to get in, you need to get there right now. Come into this line. He put me in the front. I walked past like 50 people who looked so angry at me. It was awesome.
And that was first year for me too. I was playing in 2007. Because there were people who wanted to buy the cavalry models for Hordes in 2007 to use in the Masters events.
Wow.
And so they let people get in a separate line altogether. You have no idea how many people were gluing their models right as they started announcing pairings for Masters in 2007.
Oh, I believe that.
In 2006, which was my first Gen Con, a local of ours, Mark, he plays Signar. He was playing in Masters and Hardcore. And the hardcore line that was before, because Masters started the next day that year, and he bought Epic Kane and he had them like already almost completely painted by the time Hardcore started. That's and then so used them in Masters the next day.
That is awesome. Nice.
Mark's a little bit fast with the brush.
Yes, he is.
He did that with Cray as well last year, right?
Cray, I bought Cray for him, put him together and primered it. He got there Friday night at like 10:30, and by midnight he was done painting them and played them the next day in Hardcore.
Damn.
It's pretty awesome.
Something else to keep in mind is late on Sunday, if you're going to be there, lots and lots of the booths have their stuff marked down.
It may not be crazy Sunday, at the very last day. Okay.
If you can get there at the end, you know, they're trying to pack up their stuff. They're trying to get rid of stuff they don't have to carry back.
Right.
And you can get stuff really, really cheap. May not be exactly what you're looking for, but you might see something that catches your eye. And for $5, you might be able to grab it.
Usually not like the big named booths, but it's more like the dealers.
That. Well, yeah.
Actually. Sorry. Actually, last year, the GF9 booth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since they didn't have the license to carry the privateer stuff anymore, they were offloading the terrain kits.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were retail valued $90. I got four of them for $120.
Congratulations.
Yeah, they were trying to dump those as fast as they could.
And sometimes you might even find free stuff. Like I got a bag full of free cards and a bunch of other stuff, just knickknacks that I probably didn't really need. But you might get a gem. Who knows?
Diamond in the rough.
If you will.
Josh, you're going to have to keep an eye out for me for West End Games Star Wars stuff.
Man,
this year.
If that booth is back there, I'll call you and I'll let you know.
Okay.
$5 D6 West End Games Star Wars books. Love that place.
Very cool.
Nice.
So you've gotten there and you've played through the games and it's, the days are going by and you've played your pickup games and you've played your tournaments. It's the last day. Other than the free shopping, is there much to do on Sunday?
Don't miss your flight.
Don't miss your flight.
Have a hangover.
Don't miss your flight. As a matter of fact, I actually got there to my flight, and they're like, "We're gonna have to fly you out tomorrow morning, the next day." So I call my work and tell them that I'm not gonna be able to come in. But this one guy who was with his wife, they also knocked him off the flight, and so she opted to stay, and I just left.
Oh, nice.
But I was gonna stay, and they were gonna give me a hotel and everything like that. But getting there on time is good. I was rushed out. As a matter of fact, in Masters last year, after Justin and I had won our semifinals games, the gentleman who ended up, they gave him fourth place, actually had to go because he was on his flight. So make sure there's some ample time if you're flying and if you're driving. Make sure your ride or your car is okay to go later if you have events of other sorts. I mean, like I said, there's a couple things you can do on Sunday, and you should just make sure that your timing is all correct.
Actually, something just came to mind. If you are driving, it can be a long trip for some people. Make sure you've got all your safety equipment in the car. Make sure you got your spare tire if you have one. A AAA number if you need one.
Jug of water,
yeah. All flares if you need them, whatever. Yeah, lots of bad things can happen on a long trip like that. So just take it slow and be careful.
It's Bridgestone or nothing.
Yeah.
Really.
Keep the booze in the trunk away from the driver.
I'm actually not a fan of driving on long road trips.
Mm-hmm.
And we once went to a wedding in Chicago, and we took my parents' full-sized van. And we drove up there fine. On the way back, one of our tires burst on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled over, and I pulled over apparently too much, and we couldn't get a jack under the van to check it out. So we had to get a tow truck to come out to lift the van up so we could change a tire. Then I'm driving back through St. Louis, going through Forest Park to make a turn to take someone home, and the tire blows again. I didn't have a spare at that point.
What?
Yeah. First time.
Wow.
Yep.
It's 1999. It was the year after I graduated high school. Me and some buddies, we went up to Chicago Comic-Con there, And yeah, we turned a 5-hour trip into a 9-hour trip. We had 2 blowouts.
That's ridiculous.
It was not fun.
So get a spare.
There you go. And as Tim and I found out last year driving up with a legal gun, if you have a GPS system, a TomTom or whatever, turn it on. Don't turn it on. You'll end up in Chicago. Or heading toward Chicago.
How many hours did you guys add on?
Like 30 minutes.
It wasn't that long.
Okay.
But it was funny.
Because of the TomTom?
No, because we turned off the TomTom.
We turned it off because we were like, oh, we'll know when the sign gets there. And we got busy bullshitting. Talking, yeah.
Or if you have a Sprint phone like Z.
What?
Who leaves his phone on the entire time with directions trying to get you where you need to go. I obviously know where to go when you're going to DICON. You can ask me.
You still got lost.
I know. That's what I was saying.
I was so mad.
He thought we were going to be late. We had to wait for like 45 minutes to even get in there.
Well, I'm used to waiting for hardcore by now, I guess.
Very good. Well, speaking of which, oh, I'm sorry about that. Were you going to say something?
No, I was like, did any of you play in hardcore last year?
I played in hardcore last year.
I did too.
Did you enjoy that 2.5-hour wait in the morning?
It was lengthy. I made sure I was up. You know, I had everything ready to go. I was there on time, and then I waited.
I was ready for lunch before the first round started.
That was the worst wait of my life because I'd only had 1.5 hours of sleep.
Which is another thing. Make sure you get plenty of sleep through the weekend.
Actually, I was going to say the opposite. Don't sleep. Have fun.
Well, you can still sleep and have fun.
Well, it depends who you're sleeping with, I guess.
All right.
Oh, you kids and your jokes.
Aren't you the youngest person here?
Yeah, I am. By a lot.
All right, so have we driven the Gen Con topic into the ground?
I hope so.
I think we have. I hope so.
Yay. Now let's talk about TempleCon.
So, but you did say you plan on playing in hardcore this year, right?
Yes, that is right.
What do you think you're going to be playing?
If by some miracle my Scorn gets painted up, I will take Scorn this year, even though I said I was going to take Crix when I said it in the magazine last year.
I said I'd be playing Trolls and Masters, and I decided to change at the last moment to Merc, so oh well.
I don't know. I only have Protector and Legion, so.
What do you think you would play? You said you had to do some painting. What are you thinking about?
I'm seeing if I can get Typhon done.
Okay.
He's just about done, and you have 10 days.
I have to repaint his cheeks. And then, like,
his cheeks.
You want me to do that? I'll take care of it for you.
I don't want them white, Tim.
So you're gonna paint his cheeks white?
No, they were pink. I'm making them skin color.
Oh, okay.
Which is blue for Typhon.
I haven't finished a model in my 750 yet.
You probably need to hurry.
I've got it all scheduled out. It'll work out.
Okay.
They're all being done simultaneously. Like, it's like, oh, I'm trying to do the metals on all these things. And it's only 15 figs. So
the entire armor's only 15?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We may or may not have to have the paint Flanzer's models get together.
No, I don't think so. The only one that I'm worried about is my lock. So
would that be the old man?
He would be Epic Horlock.
Epic racist Horlock.
Get off my lawn, you kids.
Well, Z, what's in your Scorn armor you're thinking about taking?
Well, thanks to the great advice I received on the forum, on the Iron Agenda blog forum, the list I finally decided to settle with was a Zal hardcore list, using the Supreme Optimus Zal.
I thought you were all Mordekaard out. I thought you wanted him.
I did, but he is not even... I have not played enough with him, and while I do like him, I don't think I would be ready enough with him.
Are you going to change his lamps to pom-poms and put them on the side and cheer on your Zalist?
I am definitely not. Though that is a nice idea. No, I'm settling with Zal, and the army list name is Eyeballs to the Wall. And, all right, so you want me to just go ahead with the list, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Just go ahead and read it up.
All right, so we got Zal with a Basilisk Drake, a Cyclops Shaman, and a Titan Cannoneer as the War Beasts. I have 1 Agonizer, 2 Ancestral Guardians, and 1 Extolar Soul Ward as the solos. And then I have a unit of 9 Immortals, 3 Ferox. I have the Tyrant Commander and Standard Bearer who just came out, and 8 Venators.
So you're trying to say that he actually didn't come out and you somehow received him through magic, privateer magic? Maybe. Did I say magic? I think I did.
I think you did. Well, it's better than mundane magic. Mundane magic's boring.
Yeah, I will hopefully have him ready by hardcore.
Very cool. So no Moloch Karn.
No Moloch Karn. As much as I wanted to take him, I decided against it.
Come on, Eyeballs to the Wall. He's got one big one.
Yeah, but the Drake and the Shaman, it's all about eye shoots, I guess.
Okay. So how do you think this is going to perform? Have you had any tests with a list like this?
Absolutely not. And I think my new hardcore practice is to not play with the army until the day of the tournament.
Okay. Well, wow. You did well last time at DICON, correct?
That is right. Thanks to your advice, I took a list I have never played before and managed to scoop the executioner away from Tim. Ha ha!
Yeah.
If we've learned anything in this podcast so far, it's that Flancer gives questionable advice.
Wait, that's not true. How do I give questionable advice? He did well. Tim, did you get fastest caster kill at DICON?
Yes, I did.
Against me.
Stole it away from me.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have heard how much Flancer was complaining about that. Oh, man.
Hey, if I didn't start my game 3 minutes after Vader goes, oh, no, it'll be all right. It's all right. I'm like, no, we haven't set up yet. He's like, no, it's all right. The game started.
40 like, seconds later.
Well, I didn't even think that I would have been able to do it, but, I mean, top of two, Deathjack likes to walk through walls. So.
But we're talking about Zol right now.
We are, and his balls to the wall.
Eyeballs.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, I have a lot of fun with Zol. When Zol came out in Evolution is when I decided to start Scorn, and that was my first Hordes faction. And so I've been playing Hordes since Evolution, and Zol has definitely been my favorite Warlock, next to regular Morgul, of course. But basically, I really like the synergy with the Immortals and the Ancestral Guardians. The way I've been playing it is where basically the two Ancestral Guardians are just kind of carling the Immortals forward. Even if they don't make the charge attack, but they make a charge, the Immortals effectively get Swordmaster with their nice power 13 swords. And then you combine that with Last Stand, you can get an effective power 20 swing from one Immortal. The only big issue was worrying about terrain, and thanks to the Tyrant Commander, I can give my statues the ability to move through terrain.
But they're only mat 6. How are you going to help them hit?
I think that's what the Kree is for.
I thought that was
there's
Zol.
No
was
list.
There's no Kriya in the list. Actually,
I thought that's what Zol was.
The
for.
Other basilisk.
I know. I looked at the list and was kind of scared. No Kriya.
The first time I ever used a Kriya was about a month ago.
Really?
But she already put her eyeballs to the wall. They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Exactly. So I didn't feel that was too fair using the Kriya when I'm trying to make an army where it's all about the cool eyesight rules. She does have eyeless sight. But regardless, the point is that the Ancestral Guardians keep the Immortals buffed up and quick. In the meanwhile, the Venators and the Ferox are doing distraction and, you know, trying to take care of the bigger targets or the faster targets. And then when the Venators are all dead, Zol feeds. Because any model, any friendly Scorn warrior model that died provides Zol with the feed token, whether they're living or not. So I don't get penalized for taking Immortals in this case. And then when I feed, generally a boosted attack from an Immortal hits a defense 16 or 17. And with a power 20 boosted damage roll, that's usually enough for most warcasters.
I know Grisel doesn't like that. I had a couple of epic battles with Grisel versus Zol with my buddy, and he ended up closing the gap in the end, and he took me down 2-1 in our games, and those Immortals are nasty.
Definitely something you got to kill early.
Yeah, but they're tough. Actually, they're tough. Yeah. But they have high armor as well, and when you're killing them, you're almost playing into the trap because he only needs one. With a Tyrant Commander, you can give them +2 to their advance, and with a Spirit Drive, they're moving, you know, their speed...
10 inches.
10 inches with reach.
With reach. And if they charge instead of that, and you give them Pathfinder, with Spirit Driven, they have an 11 +2 reach, 13-inch effective threat range with Pathfinder.
There you go.
So they're pretty surprising, and they have Tough, and they have Parting Blow, I believe it's called, or
it
Final
is.
Strike.
I believe it's like Parting Blow.
Right, so even if you can't swing with them and you just run them up and tie them up, if they die, the way the last hand rule works with them is you destroyed them, but I can remove them from play, giving them a power 20 hit, and they still count as destroyed for Zal's feet.
I do believe that if they make their tough check, they do not get a parting blow if they die once they're knocked down. Because they're knocked down.
Because stationary models can't attack.
Exactly.
Well, that's something you figure, okay, well, they have to make another attack to kill him while he's knocked down. Because if not, he'll just stand up and swing again or maybe swing twice, depending on what's going on around him.
Yeah. No, I've just had that problem. I just know I've had that problem with Doc when he dies, or a model with the Stone Scribe Chronicler who gives the unit the ability to attack back and whatnot. So,
I mean, like I said, I've used this list minus the commander. I used to have I used to have two full units with the Immortals and the Venators instead of Tyrant Commander. And I had a lot of fun using it in local tournaments before Metamorphosis came out. So instead of the Soul Ward, I can't remember what I had in there. I had something else in there. I'm fairly confident with this list. I've played this list a lot before, and just with the new Metamorphosis stuff, I think it's just a little faster and a little has a few more answers to things that I didn't have before.
Did you state there was a pair of AGs in this list?
That is right.
Yeah, I mean, they, with the Kovas, I mean, it's such a benefit that you really Zal doesn't even pay for. What is
he gives? You can take an extra Ancestral Guardian
if you wanted to. But what is Zal's cost? His point
71.
I mean, that's relatively cheap for the fact that you're going to have a model that stays around and gets another 10 damage boxes and is quite nasty in combat. I mean, it's potent. I think it's underrated. I honestly don't see a lot of Zal lists, and I've always had, you know, good fights against them.
The only Hordes tournament I ever won was with a Zal list.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Also, when you give those Ferox undead and tough, I mean, that's a really great combo because they can't be knocked down, so when they make their tough checks, they're still sticking around.
And they're fearless now, too, so...
Absolutely.
That's my biggest problem with Ferox is they just bolt all over the place.
His spell turns him into Battle Cat. From Krenjar to Battle Cat.
Well, I was...
Good point.
I mean, I always wanted to see someone hopefully mod a Ferox Cat with... Because the Praetorian Riders actually come completely off, so their legs aren't on it at all like some Cav models are. And you use... oh my god, I can't think of his name now. What's the new Circle Dragoon's name?
Morag.
Because I think he looks like Lion-O. And have the cat, you know, there and paint up like a little Lion-O guy. I mean, granted, you really couldn't use him because it's more like on a cat, but it'd be pretty sweet.
But by the Eye of Thundara, that would be cool.
Wow.
That happened.
Yeah, this is a 31 model list, but it's only got 25 VPs, which is generally where I try to stay in hardcore. I know a lot of armies go a lot higher than that, running a lot of heavies or a lot of like low cost units that. I mean, I've seen lists with 30 VPs before in hardcore.
And you talk about that, and I'm not sure if it's something that people think about when they're playing hardcore, counting their VPs. Can you tell me how that helps you in the format?
Well, whenever you're playing in hardcore, it's a twofold purpose. Especially, you have to figure out what award you want to go for. And that's something I always tell people. People ask me, how do you keep doing so well on VPs, what do you go? Do you not try to win? What goes on? And my answer is, when you make your army, you have to figure out, this is the award, or these are the awards I am trying to go for. If you're building an army that you think you're going to win with every time, if you're running an assassination army, you're not worrying about victory points. So you're going to run an army that runs hot on victory points, but has the key pieces to get you the assassination as soon as possible. Like an Epic Kane army with no Warjacks. You run the 13th, you run Ion and Holt, you run a bunch of sniper-type solos who can get the damage out there quickly and kill the caster. On the other hand, if you're trying to go for fastest caster kill, you once again don't care about how many VPs you bring with you because you're simply there to try and get the fastest caster kill. You plan your army based on what you want to do. If you want to go for Vanquisher, well, you plan accordingly. Simple as that.
Yeah, well, I was also stating, you know, you're counting your VPs. Why is that important? Are you trying to keep it low to try to suppress your opponents that you may be in contention with? Even if you get a loss, you can still pull out a victory? Because I do know that in both the past, or actually in every hardcore that I've seen you play, or your past three at least, not counting Bayou Wars, you've only lost one game, but you've still managed to pull out getting getting an award.
Well, like, for example, up at Daikon, I lost to Stu in the third round, who's obviously been on the show before. And even though he beat me, I picked up more VPs than him.
And the same thing happened at Gen Con, right?
At Gen Con last year. I played Pat Nolan, I believe, was his last name.
That's correct.
And I lost to him in a very close game, but I still picked up more VPs than him because I ran a VP light army, and he didn't pick up all the victory points.
And yeah, and he had a lot of VPs. I believe he was running 31, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was somewhere up there, and I picked up, I believe, 19, and he picked up 16 off of me last year.
Very possible.
Yeah. I have that written up somewhere. I'll have to go find it.
That is that's actually the first time I watched you play. That was such an awesome game, because I'm actually friends with Pat. He actually was someone who helped me learn the game, and that was quite a great game.
Yeah, I played him again at Daikon this year, too.
There you go. And you got your revenge.
I got my revenge. Haha. Kill that stupid Epic Fiora.
Terminus in his pimp hand.
Actually, it was his big-ass sword.
Very cool.
No, Terminus has the gimp hand. Dagrash has the pimp hand.
Oh, but I thought a pimp hand should be able to throw bitches around.
It just smacks them.
Okay. Very good.
All right, so back to the list.
Back to the list. It's down to 25 victory points because I've got 3 war beasts and I have really expensive units. Venators are expensive, immortals are expensive, and the Ferox is expensive. I mean, my only really high VP low points ratio is the Tyrant Commander, who is 35 points for the unit, but it comes with 2 VP. It's a 2 VP unit. So, I mean, I know people have told me before, and I think Tom from the SOB has asked me, why don't I run the Swamp Gobbers? It's because they're a VP that I don't want to lose.
Very interesting.
I mean, yeah, the smoke is all useful and all, but I have faced so many Legion armies at Hardcore that I plan for playing against Legion and don't bring easy VPs for Legion armies.
Well, that brings up a point then. I mean, if you're expecting to play against a lot of Legion, I mean, this brings up something I was going to say playing against this list is the lack of a Kriya really hurts. I mean,
well,
the Lilith, yeah. The Seraph, things being able to, like the Angelus, being able to charge in completely unhindered.
Yeah, it is something that does hinder the Angelus' movement.
Absolutely, I agree with you. But on the other hand, I don't expect to see too many Liliths at Hardcore. I don't expect to see a very heavy shooty. In fact, I think every time I faced a Legion army at Hardcore, almost every time I faced a Legion army at Hardcore was Saren.
Do you think you're going to see some Epic Thagrash this year?
I saw Epic Thagrash at Daikon, and I'm fairly certain, especially if David does it, we're going to see Epic Thagrash a little more this year. And I think I got stuff to take care of big BD Epic Thagrash lists.
Well,
no, Seraph spam would suck.
Yeah, that Glory of Everblight is just so stupid. As a Kador player, I know what that spell can do.
I am surprised so I don't see more Seraphs in that list. When Vader was playing and he took down an Earthborn with a Seraph, and I was just at that point I was like, I would bring 3. There'd be no reason not to. They slam as well. That's ridiculous.
I just don't like
spam.
Spamming Seraphs.
Yeah, but they're so awesome.
I mean, I think I have played 2 in some lists, but I don't go above 2 Seraphs.
The Dave stamp of
the
approval.
The Dave stamp of approval, yeah.
1, all right. 2, So you're speaking about, you know, things you're going to think you're going to see. What else do you think you're going to see, and how's your list match up?
Well, the thing is, you see a lot of, surprisingly enough, ranged heavy armies at Hardcore. You see the Epic Kanes, you see the Epic Haleys. You obviously see Seraphs no matter what Legion caster it is.
That makes perfect sense because, I mean, if you're trying to get the kill first in a speedy game, you shoot the person before they get to you.
Exactly. And while it seems like not having a Kriya might be a detriment, it's the same principle I use for playing that other game by that other company. I try not to bring stuff that'll just counteract what they're bringing, but bring stuff to kill instead of counteract. So I don't have to deal with it, and I don't have points sitting there going, well, if I played against someone who didn't have a lot of range, my Kriya is not as efficient for me.
You can say Warhammer here. We don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, like when I play Warhammer, I play Dark Elves, and I like playing melee armies, so I don't bring any mages, I don't bring any dispel dice. And I get really hammered by magic armies, but if I'm not playing against a magic army, I'm not dragged down by those extra points I brought in magic defense. So I think of optimizing my list for a certain purpose, and then basically going at it full steam and not worrying about the losses along the way.
And plus, when you do run into something that, as you said, maybe you're not exactly prepared for with utility, I mean, just by closing hard, you can sometimes counteract that.
Exactly.
I have a saying that you can solve any problem if you hit it hard enough with a hammer.
Really?
That's a good saying. I like it.
Sounds like it's from Kador.
In a sense, yeah. But, I mean, the point is brute force will solve any problem one way or the other.
That's is this true. A general life lesson, or is this just in the game?
I broke my leg.
Because I would agree with the statement if it were it resolves any problem.
This is true. Well, whatever.
I'm actually getting into pottery, Dave. Can we apply that to my props?
If I hit your pottery with a hammer, you will not have to worry about making the pottery because it will be finished.
He's got a point.
I'm making a sad face.
Hey, look, the dishes are done.
Dishes are done, man.
Well, full circle. And I think there's enough hammers in this list, like, to use Dave's analogy here, that I can take care of a lot of problems. Like, another popular army in Hardcore is seeing the ubiquitous Epic Vlad. And the point is, you got to hammer him before he hammers you.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when he's in his deployment zone.
It's hard. I have not seen too many Epic Vlad players do that, though. I'll be honest.
You must not be playing the ones I'm playing.
Actually, I was playing the ones you were playing.
Uh-huh.
Stu?
I don't play Stu. I didn't play, I didn't play his Epic Vlad, at least. That was an awesome game, by the way.
Oh, that game was crazy. Hey, look, I can roll a 5 on 3 dice.
There you go.
But anyways, back to the Zal list. In the end, I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of matchups that I haven't thought of that will probably destroy me, but that's kind of the fun when you get up against that army and you go, oh, crap, he's going to cut me in half, like facing Saren with an infantry army.
Well, I guess let's put this in two perspectives. If you're facing against an infantry and if you're facing against a beast or Jack Heavy, or maybe if you're going to address those separately depending on the game, what is your game plan to deal with those two situations, or three situations depending on how you're going to address it?
Well, against an infantry army, I'm going to have issues because they're going to have a lot of threats and I'm bringing a lot of hard hitters. However, Venners with Ghost Sight can see through any good defenses.
Venners with Goat Sight, what?
Yes, Venners with Goat Sights. Ahaha. They're bad shooters. But seriously, though, the Venners with Ghost Sight from the Extola Soul Ward can see through basically my front lines and pick apart like lightly armored infantry. If it's heavier infantry, the battle cats go in there and they try to finish them out. They got a good solid power on the charge, and they have the extra cat attacks and they have their impact attacks. Zal himself has spells that cause units to flee if they're not fearless. I believe it's called Soul Burn, where he causes a command check if he damages a model in a unit. I'm looking it up. Yep, Soul Burn.
When I look at the list, and I know you're talking about the infantry, the only thing that I would be worried about in your case is maybe against a high infantry, high defense army. Because the Venators, while good and the Ghost Sight can ignore the concealment and stealth and whatnot, usually those stealth units, like if you're staring down a unit of Striders with the horn, they're not fleeing, they're super high defense, they're in the woods, they can see you, you can see them.
He does have a cannoneer.
He does have a cannoneer.
I do have a cannoneer, and I do have a drake. Who can?
And if you go sight, you're not going to. I mean, ignores the.
The cannoneer can hit. I mean, he hopefully isn't.
Even the Venators, though.
But their defense 15.
It's CRA.
Three of them CRA can kill a Strider. The big thing is to kill a musician once he's dead.
Sure.
Yeah, you know.
Somehow he can shoot a bow and blow a horn at the same time. Don't get me started.
The horn is mounted on the bow.
Uh huh.
It's like a scope. It's mounted up top.
I thought
it was like Bob Dylan.
Thought it was more like a blowgun, blowing like the horn and the arrow at the same time.
Yeah, he's got a whole
one man band.
Neil Diamond, or not Neil Diamond?
Bob Dylan.
Well, I guess Bob Dylan. I was gonna say
Billy Joel does it. Lots of people do that.
Anyways, yeah, harmonica on a stand.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like this army's gonna have some problems against like a lockdown style army, either like a Denegra type thing. Even Saren Crippling Grasp, or I would even go so far as Epic Krios throwing Sacrosanct on a unit of Errants up front.
And this is why I have a Shaman.
To get rid of upkeeps?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yep.
For Zal to cast it.
Yeah.
For Zal to cast it if he needs to, and worst case scenario, the Cyclops himself can cast it if he needs to.
I really wish that they would have given him a magic score like the Kreia. I think he deserved it.
Well, he can emulate the Kreia, and so... It was really hard not to put the Kreia into this list because the Shaman himself could also do the Kreia Animus. I thought about that and decided the Drake was still where I wanted to have the offensive firepower of, oh, your Centurion's turned around, here come the Immortals, smack, smack, smack.
Yeah, but the Kreia's Animus does cost 3, and he would only be shooting at magic score 3.
But he gets to cast it for 1 less, so he can boost it.
I guess he could. That is true. Touché.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. Stuff with denial would be a problem, but thankfully if it's an enemy upkeep spell, I can just dispel it without even a roll, thanks to the Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about going up against your fellow Scorn in an immortal list?
Now see that? The problem is you can't put bodies in the way because he can walk right through them. You can't put terrain in the way because his ghost sight can see through it. So my big thing is going to be seeing if I can get the cannoneer up there and plug his extoller before his extoller can get his Morgul all happy.
That sounds like a good plan.
What's the range on the cannoneer and the Venators?
I believe they're both 12s.
Okay.
They are.
So, I mean, you've got to get kind of close.
But I would say a first turn run plus a move usually should be good enough to peg the extoller.
Against Epic Morgul, the cannoneer's Animus is going to be worth its weight in gold.
In gold.
-3 strength?
Yeah.
-3 strength. Morgul would only be at an 8.
And what's Zal's base armor?
I believe it's a 15? Here, let me look.
14.
14? Because he's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he is an old man. You're right. He's a 15, 14. And if he's blinded, he's not happy.
That's not bad. I mean, yeah, it's double over armor, but if you can... I mean, by chopping off strength, you're chopping that off on the front end. Basically, you're getting a twofer out of it. So
exactly. So it's effectively a minus six for the damage.
Which might be what you need.
Oh, hopefully. Now, obviously, if he's getting into me and he's going to do his... If he wants to prevent transfers, he's got to do that for one fury, and he has to actually get there. He's probably going to teleport. So hopefully I can weather a couple of the swings and maybe have a couple extra bodies in front of me at that point.
Very true.
But I've only played against Epic Morgul a few times, so I'm a little worried about him. Hopefully I can speed those immortals up there by killing one of my own Venators, giving a soul to one of my guardians, which I'm very fond of doing, by the way, killing off one of my models a turn just to have a soul out there.
This sounds like a very familiar tactic, Z.
This is what Tim's pain givers are for.
Mm-hmm. Take a
actually,
full
I
unit.
Used to have pain givers in this. That's what it was. Before the commanders, there used to be a unit of pain givers in this list. That's what those 39 points were for. There we go. But yeah, basically, I would kill one pain giver a turn, and then obviously they don't count towards Zal's feet, but I figure, you know, getting the immortals a 13-inch charge as soon as possible is better than feeding on that one model. Also, I love shooting stuff with the Spirit Eye. I love playing against Karchev with Zal because it's a power 18 shot.
Giving him the stink eye.
Giving him the stink eye, and the Shaman's also there for his stink eye, and the Extoller Soul Ward can do his stink eye, so it's just pretty funny that I can do that.
You have a lot of stink eye in this list.
Yes.
This sounds like this list could benefit from some wrong eye.
I thought about that. I saw that in the list, but it just came out, and I don't want to make my painter implode.
Fair enough.
He does look
awesome. Yeah, thanks,
awesome.
Scotty Warner, for painting my Scorn miniatures, and thank you for Phoenix Games for providing us a place where he can paint and grab my miniatures from me.
Wink. There you go.
Do we have to give links now?
Yes, I will provide you with links.
Okay.
If you're in the Atlanta area, be sure to come by Phoenix Games.
Shameless plug.
We have hot babes sometimes.
By babes, he means pigs.
Do you have calendars on the wall and posters?
We have a calendar.
Do you have the Iron Agenda? Do you have the Iron Kingdoms, Babes of the Iron Kingdoms calendar?
No, but we should.
Is that like have Grisel in it? Calandra?
Calandra's on the cover.
Oh, God.
No, I wanted to make a Babes of the Highborn Covenant because I was playing them the other day. I was like, God, there's so many girls in this list. I was like, you could really have a nice little calendar going.
All right, then.
There you go.
What about for the ladies? What about the men?
Oh.
Well, let's ignore that.
January through June is the...
Blow through all the bikini.
Men of the Shard Isles. Necker Sarge.
Today, Asphyxius.
It's Gerlach in the Borat thong.
Oh, God.
Borat swimsuit.
I hate you, Jason. I hate you so much right now.
So what about what you guys would be bringing to hardcore? I mean, like, Josh, I know you bring Epic Kaya a lot. You like her.
Yeah, I don't succeed with her, but I like her a lot.
I mean, it seems like if you can get around stuff, you might have a decent shot here.
Sure. I mean, you know, Z was talking about the different approaches, you know, designing your army for a particular goal. Hers would definitely be for probably the fastest caster kill or possibly, you know, the executioner or as a vanquisher. Which one is the top award?
Vanquisher.
Vanquisher. So one of those two. But Kaya, she can really get in there for a very, very fast assassination, especially if your opponent didn't take care to remove models around their Warlock or Warcaster. You know, she does what she does, but against the odds, she can get up easily to pop a strength, you know, near 20 pretty easily in a lot of cases.
I need her playing.
Especially with Bone Grinders.
Especially, yeah. I mean, all it takes is one or two throws to get Laris up there, and she's in. It's not hard to get her up to the opposing caster. It's very, very easy.
So do you bring lots of Shadowhorns?
I tend to take anything with two fists. Shadowhorns are good because they can move upfield farther because Laris is pretty fast. The real trick is to make sure that Kaya can advance and be within 12 of Laris. That's really the hard part, I think, because it's so easy to get him, Laris, so far up. You got to be real careful to make sure that he's still within range.
Can you charge?
You can, but then you lose two attacks
because of Rapid Strike.
Yep. So you got to make sure that charge is your last attempt.
You're really not too worried about it if they have like a. Like, if their Warcaster's having a party with, like, some choir back there.
True,
like
it may not matter at all. But, you know, if you think you might need those two, then...
If it's a Warlock with a lot of Fury who you've got to beat through the Fury...
Yes, you need every attack you can get. So, yeah, just be careful with it. And Kaya, you know, Epic Kaya, she's great. I think she's a great hardcore caster. You just, as possible to lose, just as easy as it is to win.
Mm-hmm. Big VP list, too, right there.
Quite often, yeah. She doesn't necessarily need a lot of support, but it's... I think it's good to throw a lot of spots of shifting stones, you know, the gobbers, bone grinders, you know, and whatever, little things like that. The points add up pretty fast with her, I find.
You should be looking at about 29 to 30 VPs in a good Epic Kaya list.
I never really paid attention to how many VPs I have in my list with her, but it probably stacks up pretty high.
I remember the last year, my first round in Hardcore was against an Epic Kaya player who nearly pulled it off. But he didn't boost a couple of crucial rolls, in my opinion, and needing sevens, he didn't boost a hit.
Hmm.
And Epic Striker survived with one hit point.
I'll even boost if I need a six to hit if it's a critical roll.
Six, yeah. Usually not on five, but I will do a six pretty often.
But yeah.
Considering he was a damage plus three, effectively, on his damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boost. Then you boost. Yeah, you gotta.
Well, no, I've played two Hardcore lists now. One would be the Epic Thagrash thing. I'd probably have a Seraph or so. I'd probably try and either take out the Soul Ward or just go straight for Zol. Maybe whittle through the troops on their glory if I can take out the mortals, because I got to get them before they get to me, because that's going to be a big problem. I mean, my warmongers could kill some, but...
It's risky.
Yeah. I mean, they could berserk, but you're getting a final strike every time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem. Also, Tough can ruin berserk, so...
that too.
On top of that, I think that my protector list that I took at Daikon last year, the year before, would do okay. It was a Krios list, and it had Vengers, okay. Zealots... a Redeemer, Ion and Holt, and Idrians. It had the full Idrians. And if I could, especially like if I put Anastasia in it just to get a better chance of going first, and just start hitting things first turn and not let up, throwing rockets into the backfield hoping to catch the X-Toller, I think that would have a decent chance.
And then you get to drop their entire army.
And then, yeah, you drop their entire army.
Hey, look, there's Zol.
Except the Ferox. But right. If you're keeping your Ferox back to screen Zol, that means they're not running up my flank at me.
It's a win for you right there.
Yeah.
And you can just dirge and miss your stuff and run them, get them out of there. You anti-magic pulse and then dirge and miss and get peace, Ferox. Kill their leader and make them pass command check at 6. Not bad, yeah.
As long as they're within Zol's control area, they get to reroll the command check.
If Ferox are in Zol's control area, then something's wrong.
Well, remember, we also have the Tyrant Commander who's going to be making everything within 11 inches fearless.
Speed 5.
He doesn't have to do anything. All he does is run.
That is true. He does get to do that.
I mean, that sort of thing. I mean, the common kind of thing we've said so far is being the big deal against this list is being able to shoot past through the holes that you've got there in the smaller army. So I think, you know, like the Epic Kane Thorn, I'm just going to shoot you through everything. I mean, that's going to be a pain. Black 13th with even Epic Haley or regular Haley with her feet.
Regular Haley. It's absolutely awesome.
Trencher Shenanigans.
Yep, Trencher Shenanigans. I mean, against those armies, all I have to do is deploy about 5 inches back and wait.
Which is just a pain to have to do that. But
it pisses me off.
You ignore cover with Ghost Sight, so you can get around the dig in. But the armor, oh my god, they'll be armor 18 if they're dug in. That's going to suck.
Well, you can always undig them in with the cavalry who can just
run by and tap on the head.
Or just, you know, leap and engage them and just skewer them.
That's what I always imagine when, like, I've done that with my troll calf. They're, like, walking by and just tapping them on the head, getting them out of the cover. Like, what? They, like, pop their heads up.
It's like whack-a-mole.
Yep.
Wee-hee!
I'm probably going to be playing Epic Vlad this year at Hardcore, because I'm going to try to win it.
In your Merc army?
No. Just Epic Vlad, and I'm borrowing entire Kato army. That'd surprise the world.
What?
No, I'm playing trolls at Hardcore. I'm playing Epic Old Man. I'm running 9 slag trolls, and I'm gonna take them down.
What are you really running?
Some beasts, most likely.
Don't know yet.
A couple of them.
Mole.
No, I know.
An Earthborn.
Another Earthborn.
I'm guessing one of those is bonded.
I don't think you'll have a regular dire troll there.
No Mauler.
Two Earthborns and Mole.
I can't stand the Mauler.
I keep telling you, use the damn Mauler, dude.
The mat is way too low. I can't hit with 6s. Why would I be able to hit with 5s? I never fail to get on their caster. And maybe if I could roll what is the most rolled number on 2 die, being 7, or on 3 die, about a 10 or 11, whatever we're going to call that word, as Josh and I have had fights about this, it's not average. But if I could roll a good number, a decent number, you know,
the median.
I usually don't have problems getting
expected value.
If I could roll the expected value,
I didn't realize that debate affected you so much.
It does.
He has nightmares about it.
If I could roll the expected value, usually, I mean, I'd be able to pull stuff off. I mean, you know what it's like.
This sounds also kind of like the Kaya thing, though. You're just going to start checking trolls over his line and stand him up, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've definitely thought about doing that. I mean, I've done that before. With I have the Fel Collar in the list, obviously. I mean, with Epic Horlock, I usually have the ability to get up there, whether it be by trample or whatnot. With the Bonded Earthborn, you can trample up, buy your attack, boost, and if they're next to a model, you just throw them at it, they're knocked down, and then three attacks at... I mean, rarely does a Warcaster have a low POW. So usually it's at least POW 5, which is on the low end.
You have to be base to base, right?
No, an inch.
Okay.
So I can even steal from something near it. Within an inch, 5, at worst, it's a POW 17.
And aren't the Ferox actually the best option you have for that right now?
Ferox are the best option. They have a Bite, which is...
POW 12.
POW 12, which is a melee attack, and you don't add your strength. It's not their mount, it's their
Bite.
Do you
steal from a melee weapon or a melee attack?
It's a melee weapon.
Oh, mounts are melee weapons.
It's a mount weapon.
No, it's not. They have a mount and they have the Bite.
Oh, he's right. The mount is...
Bite.
Bite is a melee weapon, so it's POW 12, so I just strap an Earthborn to my back, and I go around POW 20... Or strap a Ferox onto my back, have POW 24 cat hands, I look like
it's
Voltron.
It's like Voltron.
Yep. No.
You can also do that with Tor Steinhammer. He's also got a POW 12 melee attack.
He does. He does. That's true. The torch. He has the wrench and the torch. I believe Z was there when I finally got to attack a Ferox with my Earthborn for the very first time. I was playing a very good player out of Kentucky. Lord Tyrant Watt is he's called performs. and we played, and unfortunately it was a confusion. I hope that the game was a little more legal than what we said it was, because I was like, oh, I got to show you what Epic Horlock can do. And he apparently thought that that meant that I was supposed to show him, and then we were going to play a real game after that. But he still advanced normally, and I got everything done that I needed to do, although the turn took like 10, 15 minutes, a little longer than it should have. But
I remember that. He's a good player.
He's a good player. He's a good player. I'm sure we'll see him this year, probably pimping Emorgle, trying to win another hardcore. He actually picked up the win at DICOM.
Yep.
Even Epic Vlad needs a little help when playing Emorgle. Tim's shaking his head.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. But yeah, Epic Horlock, I'm probably going to suck really bad.
What would you do against Zol, though?
What I do against Zol, I would get an Earthborn on him and fail to kill him.
Primal shock.
No, I'll get out in the middle of nowhere with a couple of Animi from, or not Animi, with a couple of, I can't think of what it's called now.
Not Goad, the spell that
lets you move 2 inches. I can't think of
it. Oh, Mob Mentality.
Mob Mentality. Thank you very much, Josh. A couple Mob Mentalities, get him out there, and if I have a charge lane, obviously I'll take that. If it's a trample lane, then I'll have to do that. It's going to be difficult to trample over immortals, though. They are scary to trample over because they have reach, and you'll have the last stand. So even if I'm hitting a couple, I'll most likely be in reach of a couple. So I'll take a couple free strikes, which I'm sure he'll gladly sacrifice himself for the POW 20.
What? Never.
So I got to take care of a couple of those. That's why I have a full unit of Nis Hunters in there. Oh, wait.
Oh, that's good.
Not until Mark 2. Trolls can bring Nis Hunters in Mark 2, though, as of right now. So I'm excited about that. I'll try my darndest against Zol. He's Zol, like he said, like Z said, he'll have a good matchup against a bunch of heavies, and I do have that. So
yeah, straight dice damage rolls on my gunshots from his eyeball.
Yep, not bad. But if Zol's that close,
I'm in trouble.
You may have trouble, yeah. Because even without my feet, I mean, I can get those guys running. And Mulg,
he needs snipe.
Mulg can eat that. Mulk can just go up and eat someone like Pendrake.
Yes, he can.
it'd be a fun game. Z and I always have good games. Maybe we'll play before hardcore. Maybe I'll call you out.
Take 2.5 hours to set up again.
It won't. We need to finish what we started. We're 1-1.
Yes, we are.
Anything else we want to talk about?
Kator.
it's Kator.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys actually talk about that faction. That's right.
Well, you know, maybe it's time to mention it. Sure. At the very beginning, I mentioned that we're the podcast that covers all the factions, and indeed, we actually have everything represented here.
We don't have a full-time Signar player, but correct. We have 3 half-time Signar players.
Yeah. I'm a full-time Signar player.
This is true. Once Mark II hits, most of next year is going to be dedicated to Signar.
And most of next year for me will be dedicated to Kador. So there's going to be all of the War Machine factions, and then we all play a different Hordes faction, and I'm sure between the bunch of us, we'll pick up maybe a few Retribution models. I know I might pick up a little one if a caster tickles my fancy.
There's at least a few models right now I want just for painting, but I might, I don't know, we'll see.
And we have a smattering of mercs. You know, I've got some dwarves, and I have other things that I don't play, but you'll have Magnus next year, right?
Well, I own every merc caster.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Okay. So
he has to.
I have to for Masters.
That's right, you have lots of Pirates too, don't you?
Oh yeah. I have everything in Pirates, if not double, including the solos that you can only have one of. I somehow have double.
So he owes me those.
So hopefully we'll be able to cover things more evenly. Now. Yes.
But Timmy.
Yes.
Timmy.
Kador.
Kador.
With Kador.
Besides Epic Blood.
Well, yeah, I figured that was the auto, so I didn't want to talk about that.
The other ones that was Sorcerer, though, is going to be just as
which
mean.
Is what I hit, what I played at Daikon.
Yeah.
And that was the speedy, fast Cavalus that was...
Frozen Immortals is probably the best way to deal with them. It's a immortal
popsicle.
Shoot,
I wouldn't even use my... I wouldn't even use the feet on
them. Yeah, spell.
I'd use the Freezing Grip and hit them with it and just plink them to death.
Additionally, I mean, Defense 20, if I'm not mistaken, if you can't knock her down, you really can't reliably hit that. Am I right, Z?
Absolutely. Defense 20. And I think the only thing that ignores spell effects, I believe, is Zal's Soul Burn again, but even then you need 9s to hit.
Your combine will work, but most likely he'll know that. And if if he runs
the
Cavalus.
That would
be
what the Mortar's for.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what the Mortar's for. But if you run the Cavalus, you might have a hard time getting to the Venators.
It depends on where they're at in the field.
We'll see. But I mean, I think that you're being Cador. I mean, you have a pretty good chance of hitting Zal wherever he is in this list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be the standard list now for something different.
Old Witch.
Old Witch would be a lot of fun. I always have a blast playing her.
She's nice.
She's one of the warcasters that I see a lot of other Cador players struggle with. And I find her really easy to play. I don't know why.
Maybe she resembles your mother. I don't know. Well, life will hit.
Someone actually someone at Bayou Wars was using an Old Witch hardcore list. But he didn't have any other Warjacks besides Scrapjack.
Oh, going the
How do you not have Behemoth?
Route. Yeah, I think Behemoth's almost auto.
Yeah.
The broadsize list had a lot of fun against that one.
I would imagine so.
Did you play that?
Yeah, I took the broadsize list to Bayou Wars, and I tied for Executioner.
Oh, nice.
It was only 22 people, so it was not official.
Oh, I see.
So
and that was after losing my first game with only 4 victory points.
Wow, nice.
Very cool. Yeah, he said the list did excellent.
Oh, it's insane. That list is crazy. I might, if my scoring list is not finished, I might just take the Broadsides Bart list because that list is so nasty.
Are you going to be writing up your Bayou Wars escapades like you did for Daikon on the IAB?
I will. As soon as I'm done with Daikon, I should be done with Daikon in about a week and a half. So right before Gen Con, I'll be done with Daikon.
You can always push Bayou Wars back. We want to hear about Gen Con before then.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. I'll see if I can get done with Daikon this week and then post up Bayou Wars right before we go to Gen Con.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, that's my Iron Agenda blog on the blogging network.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's blog.ironagenda.com.
And you're last on the list of authors, I believe.
Yes. I'm actually going to replace that list with a drop down because it's too damn big and I want people's banners up near the top again.
Right.
If you guys
now I have to make a banner? Oh man.
No. People who don't have their own or people who have their own site have banners.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you guys haven't seen it, I mean now that especially now I'm an official Iron Agenda member, but I mean before this site is awesome. I actually had a project for a really long time that I was working on, and this was kind of a goal, and I'm so happy that I ended up not doing it because I can't imagine it'd be as good as what Dave and Josh had put together. It is awesome, and I made my first post last night, and I plan on making a post maybe even daily. So it's going to be
say that now.
I say that now. Hey,
I saw your old blog where you said you were going to post daily or weekly, and that didn't happen, did it?
That blog was awesome. It was 5 die POW 20. That's because I charged a World Warden with a caber tosser, and he was engaged. They were under the second prayer of the Chronicler for a 4th die, and then they were. Mm-hmm. I knocked him down, and they were. I was using Borka, and so they had Liquid Courage on them, and I railed him with a 5 die POW 20. And then I decided to. I just made my blog a couple days after that. I was like, I'll name my blog 5 die POW 20, but it is no longer around.
Yes,
I decided that it was time to go.
So you have a new home now.
I do on the Iron Agenda blog.
You know, we've got people who do daily, and like I try to do weekly. I've kind of missed the past couple because I've been doing some other stuff, but it's fun.
It is fun. I just like it because you get a really cool community. I just like it that I can click on Cador or Cador or whatever you want to call it, and I can see all the posts you know relating to that. And it's pretty easy to tag, even though apparently I suck at it and can't. But everyone else seems to be tagging quite well, and it's. I mean, it was what I thought of when I first thought of it, and I'm just happy to now be part of the community.
Glad to have you.
Well, thank you.
Yep, and Z and Tim and everybody, all the guys who people who had their own blogs who participated.
Oh yeah, I love reading you know, like G'day Bloke posts all the time, and their little tournaments and stuff like that they're doing are great. And I know that we're going to have here in St. Louis when Mark II comes out, we're going to be doing a similar kind of hardcore Mark II playing that at least a couple of us here are part of, and it'll be really cool. And
I might provide the color commentation.
There you go. Yeah, three of us, except for Dave, are going to be participating. Actually, because Dave's not participating, I am.
You took my spot.
I did. I have a strict painting requirement that I'm going to have to meet.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you look a little worried about that.
You know what? I'm excited. I am. As if you read my post on the IA blog, I was so excited with my Cav, and they're not even done yet, and I think they look awesome. And I'm just excited to be painting them.
I'm working on part of it right now. I haven't had time to do any posts lately, but I'm also not very good with the whole picture-taking part of it. So for my Signar, I've been doing custom-sculpted trench bases for my trencher units.
They look cool.
Nice. Yeah.
It's going to be like your fin.
We've seen your fin.
Yeah, my fin. I have to do a picture of Finn. I have a converted fin.
Yeah, send me a
you
link.
Will dig it. He's got shells coming out of his gun. And
It's the coolest fin I've ever seen in my life.
He's behind rolled barbed wire and stuff like that.
Yeah, I have him.
It's cool.
I have him on a regular base, and then I have it that he sticky-tacks to a medium base that has barbed wire and stuff on it.
We have a slightly blurry picture of it from Privateer Weekend last year, but I'm sure we can get a better one out there.
Yeah, Flanger told me about this.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
All right, well, we went off on the list, but I think we hit it
pretty good. We hit it pretty well.
We tapped that.
Well, excellent.
You know, do you have a next-gen phone? You don't. You've got a regular phone.
Yeah, I don't have internet or anything like that. Oh, you're talking about letting people know where we are and stuff?
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could Twitter from a phone.
Yeah, the only thing we came up with was I can call our voicemail and make the voicemail message tell people where we are, but that's the closest I can get.
We might be able to work something out.
Okay,
I know a couple people that have next-gen phones and internet. So.
Maybe legal. Jason might. I don't know. Legal gun.
I don't think he does.
Huh? Yeah. Don't think he does?
No.
So I think we've exhausted pretty much every topic. Anybody else going to Gen Con doing any special events or anything they want to talk about?
I did painting last year. I didn't sign up for any classes this year.
I tell you what. There's actually one thing I want people to go with me to. And that is they're doing a... It's like an 11 o'clock at night, Plan 9 from Outer Space, Mystery Science Theater 3000 showing.
Really?
And I've never
totally
seen that one.
We've totally forgot the one thing that I'm sure most, if not all of us, are going to go to. Project Press announcement.
Do we want to say what that is?
We don't know what it is.
I know. Friday night.
They may take our spots.
At 3 or 4. Yeah. I didn't want anybody to know about it.
Exactly.
Friday night at what?
Friday night at 4 in the Westin. Somewhere in the West, and PP's having a special announcement, little get-together thing.
I think they said a new media for War Machine?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's going to be – they said it's going to have, like, special guests or something. People – I think Dave and I and some of the people think it's going to be a video game announcement. The thing is, this hasn't been on the boards, and it was just put in the roster of events, but it hasn't been announced anywhere.
That is true. Ooh. That is true. Hopefully,
it's weird that it hasn't been announced.
Hopefully I can't make it, and I'll be playing in Masters.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I'm going to try, but Josh will have the recorder. Anything else, then? Nope.
I can't think of anything. Okay. Make sure you drink your fluids, eat your veggies. I don't know.
Get at least an hour of sleep every night.
Come find me.
At least an hour and a half, I think.
Taking stuff to Gen Con. Earplugs.
For what?
The people that you're sharing a room with that snore.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
For the Warhammer players, you're going to be screaming, WOG, every 5 minutes.
Or if you happen to be next to somebody who's screaming Explosivo for some reason.
Is he going?
I have no idea.
I wonder if he is. I should ask him. Well, Z, thanks a lot for coming on the show this week.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I'm glad I could be a part of this awesome, awesome podcast.
You sure you're on the right show?
Wait, no. This is the Fell College, right?
Oh, man.
Whoops. Canceled recording and transmission.
Yeah, no, but thanks a lot for coming on. We're glad you could come talk to us.
I had a blast.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to hanging out with you at Gen Con again.
Absolutely, and maybe if I didn't talk too much, hopefully I'll grace your years again through Skype.
Hopefully.
Or maybe we still haven't got our Gen Con recording schedule down or what
That's
we're going
to
do.
That's true, yeah, we have to figure out what we're going to do for that.
We might have something going on there, too.
We'll have to set up the studio in the hotel room and bring people back to the room.
Want to come back to my
Is
room
like
and record?
Okay.
So then you and Z will be in competition for the getting people to come back to your room.
Why would I be in competition? I'm not going to say. Oh, right, the Gen Con versions. Never mind.
Ew.
All right.
Virgin no more.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that can cover all four factions. Ah, damn it, there are more than four factions. I gotta start off.
God. Fail.